Blog Talk Radio.
And to Sila, we're here and we're ready. And I hope all of you are ready. We're going to have a good show. Hello to Sila. How are you today?
Hello, my brother. How are you? You not
I'm
only
doing
are
just
my husband,
fine.
But you're my brother also in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And that's right. Well, we're getting ready to have a good program for everybody tonight, so I hope you guys are really ready for it. You're going to get ministered to, so get ready for it. But before we go any further, I want to just take a little time, just take a little break right now and call some of your friends, send them an inbox, a text, or whatever, and give them this number, 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. 8537. Tell them to dial in right now, and they don't want to miss this program, or they can just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila wherever you see our post for this program, either on Facebook, Tumblr, or Twitter. If you see it on Instagram or anywhere else, just dial the number or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila, and you can hear the whole program just from your computer. Now, keep in mind, even after the show is over, and let's say that you missed it, then you can just click on T. Meyer and Tusila's picture for this particular program and hear the whole program again, or just hear the whole program for the first time on your computer. Even if it's next week and you say, oh, I forgot, last week Christian Talk was on and I missed it, just find last week or the post of this particular show, click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila and listen to the whole program from beginning to end. That's all you have to do. Okay. All righty. Well, then, let's get ready. Oh, wait a minute. I can hear something. I hear something getting ready to happen. Can you hear it, Pastor Tusila? It's coming.
Oh, yeah,
it's coming.
I hear it.
You know the sound. Here it comes, everybody. You know what it is. That's it. It's time. You're just in time if you just tuned in. It's time for a TNT moment. That TNT moment is a T. Meyer and Tusila moment, and we're getting ready for it. All right, so for our TNT moment, Pastor Tusila, what do we have for today?
Whew, we have a good one. All of them are good. So if you guys ever want to write in, you can find Pastor T on the Facebook or his phone number, or you could text him. But if you ever want to write in with any questions, you are welcome because we love them and we love to answer them. But today we have, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And first, I'm going to say something the Lord gives me, and then Pastor T would give his take on it. But I want to say first that the reality of God is very important to all the listeners.
Yes.
Anything other than that is just religion. And the presence of God is very important. Anything other than that is just the program. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. I said that because that's what the Lord kind of showed me. But Jesus made a profound statement. But to be honorable to our Lord and truthful, all his statements are profound. Everything he says is profound. But this is one of them that he said, pertaining to walking in the Spirit. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Here is where we see one of those, what I call Christian contingencies. Something is liable to happen as a result of something else happening. And if you do your part, is what I'm saying, then God's part is already in place. And it's a lot of the contingencies in the Bible, but a lot of times with Christians, as Christians, we read that and we go, oh, he said that, but he said something else that goes along with that. So our King is stating that abiding in him and his word, abiding in his word in us, is part of walking in the Spirit. And then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father's. We are also, as doing that, we are glorifying the Lord. And Jesus said, herein my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit also. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love as you stay in a position of abiding in him and his word abiding in you. Your love deepens and it grows for him and for people. And, you know, we all know that's what the all the commandments is on, is love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Abiding in him means do not be a distant lover. A lot of people, you know, yeah, I go to church, yeah, I pray, yeah. God said, don't be a distant lover. And we already know God is his word, but God wants us to experience him. You know, it's a lot of Christians who never get a chance to, they know that God exists, but they never experience him. I want to know that that one true living God that we all pray to and love, I want to hear his voice, I want to feel him, I want to see him, you know. I want to experience
him
and his presence. And I'm sure that he wants you to not just attend like a service. He wants you to bring him to the service with you, you know,
there
join in with you so we can make it a corporate anointing. You know, a lot of times people say, I go to church, and then that's it. But did you experience anything? Did you experience the presence? Did God touch you? Did he speak to you? Did he talk? Did he do something? Did he change something? We got to live in a place now where we see in the operations of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God that we all talk about. And Paul, our favorite revelator, he puts it like this in Ephesians 4:14. He says, so I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and the favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being. That's your spirit man. With his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place or abiding place of his love, God who is love, will become a very source and root of your life. Now pay special attention to this part. He said, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of his astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. Wow. The dimensions of Christ's love.
Yeah.
Just saying, that's just so great to know that in Christ Jesus there are dimensions of his love. I know there's dimensions in his word, you know, that it's like sevenfold. I know that. But dimensions of his love, some of us only know of his love in the work on the cross. But in Proverbs 8:17 it says, I will show my love to those who passionately love me, for they will search and search continually until they find me. Unending wealth and glory comes to those who discover where I dwell. So it's like we're God's lovers, and he has us on a hunt. And so some people feel like, well, I gave my life to the Lord. No, this is a beautiful love affair. It's him abiding in you and you abiding in him, and he keeps you on a hunt where you're seeking and searching for him, where you want to know where he dwells. And the same thing goes for wisdom. You know, it is not found by half-heartedness, and one must love wisdom to gain it. And a superficial desire will only yield to superficial knowledge. So is it with love? It's not just Jesus loves you and so do I. We hear that so much cliche-ish, you know. But it's deeper than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, the deeply intimate love is far-reaching love of God, and how enduring and inclusive it is endless love beyond measurement that transcends our own understanding. We know about peace that transcends our understanding, because when something happens, we're like, Lord, help. And then, or we have a death around us or something, we could feel God's peace, you know, or his keeping of us. But we got to start experiencing this extravagant love that pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. This is what God wants to do. He wants to fill every vessel. You know, he always say we're the temple, we're the vessel, and all that, but he wants to do something with that, because that's how we're seated in heavenly places with him. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. God can do this, and he will achieve more than the greatest request. Jesus wants you to abide in him and his word so that he can operate from you and bring glory to the Father. Jesus wants to fulfill your most unbelievable dreams and your wildest imaginations. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizing us. Abiding in him is my side of the story. What's yours, Brother Tim? On how to walk
that's
in
something,
the
because this is how we walk in the Spirit, having that kind of a connection that you were just talking about, Pastor Tosila. We have to have that kind of a connection with the Lord. It's a connection of pure love.
A love affair.
You see,
A
love affair.
Uh-huh.
We must walk in the Spirit in order to be led by the Spirit. But before we can do any of that, we must first truly believe in the Lord and love the Lord. And I mean really, truly love him and believe in him, because it's by Jesus Christ that we are able to have the Holy Spirit in the first place, so that we can be led and walk in the Spirit. It's because of Jesus Christ that we are anointed. Jesus had to go to the Father so that he could return in spirit and dwell within us. Then we hear his voice from within us. And sometimes, of course, we hear him with our natural ears as well, his actual audible voice. But the point is, this is the point. We need to receive the Holy Spirit in order to walk and be continually led by his Spirit. John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, that means go to the Father, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We are to be endued with power in this hour. That's right, Christians. We are to be endued with power in this hour, just like his disciples were endued with power on the day of Pentecost. And once we are endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be strengthened from within. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man or inner being. With having the Spirit of God in us and around us and upon us, we are able to be led by his Spirit, as the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Keep in mind that it is by his Spirit that we even have the power to become the sons of God. Remember what John, what the Lord said how it was written in John chapter 1, verse 12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The power that he gives us is Holy Spirit power. This is the same power, the same Spirit that Jesus told us would come and guide us. John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, which is the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit will declare to us the things that are to come. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. In order for the Holy Spirit to guide us, we must be willing to follow him. He can't guide us unless we follow him. And as long as we follow him, then we will become sons and daughters of God. John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus talking, he said, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He will teach us all things and lead us on into his righteousness. Also, keep in mind that God's word is spirit and it is life. His word is spirit. And it is life. When God breathes out his word, it comes alive. Even his written word, it is still alive. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In order to be led and walk in his Spirit, we must submit to the teaching, the reproof, the correction, the training by his Spirit. Otherwise, how can we be led? How can we walk in the Spirit? Obedience is very important when we hear his word, read his word, even when we feel his word from in our inner being. No matter how the word comes to you, no matter how he comes to us, just remember that his word is spirit-breathed. Therefore, his word lightens up our path as we walk on this journey to meet him. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we must walk and stay in the light as we walk. As we are on this journey, stay in the light, because the light is his Spirit that guides us. And as we make up our minds to stay on his straight and narrow pathway, we will not fall or be carried away with divers lust, which will knock us off of his pathway. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Stay under the power of the Holy Spirit and obey his word. And when you do, then you will not be judged according to the law. You are free. Galatians 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We are free from any
one
kind
of
condemnation.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a contingency, right? We are free from any kind of condemnation because we are the obedient of the Lord, and we are continually and consistently walking and being led by his Spirit. Amen. I guess that's it right now for the TNT moment, Pastor Tecila. That's what we got. Just in case you guys want to contact us or have any questions and want us to discuss something on the TNT moment, give us an email at christiantalkr@gmail.com. That's christiantalkr@gmail.com. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen. We want everybody to sit. Don't go away because we're going to be right back with our special guest. So don't go away. Stay right here. Stay with us.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. He's longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he said, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today.
Christian Talk Radio with T. Meyer and Tecila, and our special guest today is Pastor Greg and Chaplain Lady Youngblood. Pastor Greg and Chaplain Lady Youngblood, they are the pastors of Joy Fellowship World Ministry in Victorville, California, They have been married for 8 years. Both are finishing chaplaincy school. Both are in divinity school, earning degrees, masters, and doctorates in ministry. Pastor Greg is currently in school for a certified medical assistant. They have a live feed broadcast called Joy Fellowship World Ministry, Pastors on the Couch, if you will. You can watch it on Facebook, YouTube, and on Joy Fellowship World Ministry's website every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. It's really good. You will be ministered to, and you can have people to dial in. I'm going to have him talk a little bit more about that. They also have a men's ministry. It's called Mail Call, hosted by Evangelist Richard Kirk every Thursday at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So tune in to that as well. Joy Fellowship World Ministry is a 508c1, a church and an outreach-based ministry. The church was established by Pastor Greg's dad in 1977 as Joy Fellowship, but reestablished and renamed in 2019 as Joy Fellowship World Ministries. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody, let's welcome Pastor Greg and Chaplain Lady Youngblood. Hey, you hear the applause? How are you guys doing?
We are blessed and highly favored, as they would say in the old church, and we just thank God for being on this program with you guys tonight, and we just love
praise
you.
The
and,
Lord.
Me and Pastor T. Meyer, we go back quite a ways, and we have gone down the journey of ministry together, and both in music and just ministry in itself. And so we're so excited. And I'm so excited to be with my lovely wife tonight as well on the line, having both lovely wives on tonight. We want to say greetings to your wife, Pastor Tefila.
Praise
how are you
the Lord
doing tonight.
Yes, nice
ma'am.
To meet you.
God bless you.
We'll be so glad to be able to meet in person soon.
Very soon.
I have truly
very
enjoyed
soon
your introduction. Your TNT moment was just excellent. You know, I just want to say thank the Lord for the both of you. It was blessed. I felt the Holy Spirit through it. And
oh,
it's a subject that I really love because it expounds on really what the fruit of the Spirit is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, you know, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And but the greatest of all that we were given in the very beginning is love, because
right.
John 4:7-8 says that God is love. And
yes.
It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that knoweth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So what that means is that if God is love, that means love is power, because God is all power.
Mm-hmm.
So when we learn how to exercise the power of love, we can conquer any adversity, because we're exercising the power of God. And so I really love that bottom line right there. If we can get that part, then we'll really be doing it.
Oh, and that's going to give us all good discernment, too, huh? We're going to have real
praise
good discernment.
Lord.
We're going to figure out
who
has that good love.
We're going to have everything you need. We'll be able to love each other as God loves us.
Yes.
We get to that part, oh, my goodness, you know. And we will get to that part. Everybody won't, because everybody won't make it. But we will get to that part, because we'll have to be there in order to be caught up to meet him in the air.
Right, and then the thing is about love is that it's a choice.
Yes,
it's a choice that you make, and it's a spirit, and it's a choice that you make to whether you want to do that or not. You have a free will to love or not to.
And if, unfortunately, according to feelings, certain people decide, according to their mood swings and who unforgiveness, I don't think I'm going to love you today. And it really doesn't go like that.
Yes, and those are they who fall into that category who will not make it in unless they change their mind, unless they change their life.
That's right.
On something that simple. And that's something that if you don't have, that God will give it to you. Because a lot of people tell me, I don't love. I wasn't raised like that. And it's so simple, but ask. Yes. Just ask the Lord if you really feel cold and indifferent and really don't like people. Some people don't like people. And they think
it's
that's
so
terrible. Okay. And it's not.
It, I mean, it's not.
And because they don't like people, it's hard for them to love them. So, you know, you're right, Pastor Tosila. We have to ask the Lord. The love comes from God anyway. So we ask the Lord to give us the love we need, you know, and we have to receive it, be open, and then choose to use that love to love. So that's that was a strong point. I like that.
Yeah, excellent topic. We just went over that actually this last Saturday talking about Pentecost. And when you're talking about Pentecost, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, because this is what Jesus left us, was the Holy Spirit. He said, I had to go before the Comforter could come. He told the disciples that. You know, they were dismayed by him physically leaving them, you know, and going away. But he said, you know, don't worry about that. I'm going to send a Comforter that will be here with you as I was with you, you know, but you have to learn to, you know, take on, you know, the Holy Spirit. We can't operate outside of the Holy Spirit. Anything that God gives us to do, we have to be able to operate in the Spirit. You know, if we operate in the flesh, we've already messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeedy. Mm-hmm. So we must ask ourselves and be the example of this question. Do our lives portray a likeness to Jesus Christ? You know, because that's where it lies. You know, we give our lives to Christ, and we're walking every day. We're not perfect because, you know, we were born into sin and shaped into iniquity. But we're striving every day to become more and more like Christ. I guess the bottom line is, how hard do we try? What kind of sacrifices do we make in our lives, you know, that would take us to that point of being more? Because, see, we won't make it in if we're not totally committed enough to get to that point of righteousness. When Jesus returns, we won't make it in, because he's returning for his bride. And everywhere you read in the Word, you'll find where he says the reasons what will keep you out. You know, and so we all must ask ourselves, how do we portray our lives in the likeness of Jesus Christ? And we can only be able to exercise that if we are sincerely studying the Word to find out about the life of Christ, what he did and how he expressed himself, how he expressed to the people about his Father, and how he portrayed what he did when things didn't look so good. When the people were coming against him, they tried to push him over a cliff, and he disappeared.
Right.
And they couldn't find him. But he could have stood there. You know, they beat him with this whip that pertained, had teeth from animals, and, you know, it wasn't like a strap. It had stuff on it, so that's how they were able to rip the skin off his body. He could have stopped all of that. But what would we do? We would have done that. We would have stopped that. we would have used that power and threw everybody everywhere.
Well, you know, something that I always say, Lady Youngblood, is that the only thing Christ wants to see in your ticket into the which is an entrance into the kingdom, is Christ in you. The Lord wants to see himself in us. And so all of this is about how much are we submitting to allow him to form himself within us.
And that's
so,
what we're talking about.
You know,
exactly.
How much are you going to submit to the process of the new birth, of allowing Christ to form himself? Because that's all he looks for when you get up there, is himself formed in you. And so
that's what he's looking
for. How much are we going to allow that? How much of that are, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not so much we can't be righteous or good enough or kind enough. We can't do anything. It's an act of God. But what we can do is submit to the process. And that means.
Yeah.
And what
does that look
sacrifice?
Like?
It's like
in
order to get there, we have to sacrifice our own thoughts and ideas in order to be able to humble ourselves in a way where that can take place. See, that's the hardest part, it seems, for a lot of people to be able to humble themselves, because we got these thoughts in our minds, you know, I can do this. I know, don't tell me. I know how to. But see, that's leaning into your own understanding. And sometimes we think we have answers. The Bible says in the Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to a man to be in their own destruction, you know. And so we have to humble ourselves so we can listen to each other. We never know when it is that God is speaking to a person through us. You know, sometimes we get all our names and all our titles and our positions and whatnot. And so then when someone comes and you think they don't have their titles, they didn't go to school, they didn't do, and they're trying to tell you something that God is leading them to tell you, but now we don't want to listen because we have our positions and we know better than they do. That's the spirit that's hovering over the people in the land today.
Right.
You know, but God
That's
said
true.
In the Word, he gave us an illustration where he showed us how he can use a donkey. And I'm a firm believer, because I've watched God over my life teaching me things I never thought I could learn to do. I didn't have a man, a teacher, a school that I went to learn a lot of things. God simply taught me himself, and I've watched him teach me through the Word how to live and how to be, you know, and so I believe that God has given me my degrees. God has given me a position and a place.
Your doctorate and all that junk they claim.
It's already embedded in my heart how to come alongside and help people that need help who are sick. It's already been instilled in me, you know, by the Lord, you know, so, and some, we think sometimes, oh, we got to go to school. And, you know, I was in a situation one time where there was a graduation going on, and I heard the people on the platform speaking, and they were saying, this one has got their doctorate. This one's got their degree and bachelor's and naming all these different things. And then I heard the Holy Spirit. And it seemed as if the Lord was saying, who do I say they are? You know, we put all of our ideas and our own thoughts and plans into a thing. But what is God's plan? That's what it means to me about humbling myself and sacrificing myself and to try to listen to what the Word says as I study and hear what the direction it is that God is trying to give me himself, as opposed to what someone else is saying. You know, a lot of leaders will come and say, you want to do this, and you can do this. We're going to have you do this. But what did God tell me to do? That's the sacrifice that he's looking
there
for.
There it is.
So that he can be the director of your life, you know, that he can train you. He can show you what he wants you to do. And then when you come to that place, now you're on your way to heaven. You know, but until we get there, you know, I'm not saying I've made it. I'm still, you know, going through some stuff myself spiritually.
In the process. We're all on a journey and a process. And look, I learned that we still going to be learning even when we enter into the kingdom, I was like,
you'll be learning in the earth.
What a beautiful ride.
Good news is, We'll still be learning in the earth made new, but the good news is we'll be there. Praise the Lord.
Exactly. And the thing is that the Lord really wants to complete that he started. And a lot of times with our own pride and wanting to do things our way, we hinder the work. And it takes that much longer for him to complete it. But he don't give up. He's going to complete the work even to the day of Jesus Christ. So thank God for that. But it could go a lot faster if we learn all of it. If we all learn how to humble ourselves and allow the Lord. We have to allow him to do the work in us. He's such a great God. You know, he's a perfect gentleman. If we resist him, if we push him away from him, he will back off. If we don't want him, he'll back off. You know?
Yes, he will.
But he wants us to
say, I stand
to
at the door and knock. If anyone,
that's right.
He says, I stand at the door and knock. You know, if anyone wants to let me in, I'll come in. But he doesn't stand at the door to kick the door in. The doorknob is on our side. You know, if we don't turn it and open it, he's not coming in. You know, because he doesn't force anything out of us. He's given us a spirit of choice. We have a right to choose if we want him or not, you know. And so I'm just grateful today. I'm grateful for all the things that he's teaching us and pulling us all together as a people. I know that when he returns, he's coming back after his bride. You know, I want to be part of that ceremony. You know, we've gotten it wrong, actually, because, you know, we were deceived and we were told that it was okay to have all these different denominations. But denomination means nothing but division. God is not coming back after any one denomination. And if we don't get that straight, we are in trouble. We have to learn how to come together as a people, as the body of Christ. One church. That's what he's coming back
That's
after.
Right.
That's who his bride
That's
is.
That's right.
The one church. You know, so that's my prayer, that we all learn. We learn how to work together and come together and become one. One church.
Yes.
That's part of unity. That's the sign of maturity,
Amen.
The unity.
Amen.
Woo!
I'm glad to be on your program.
Oh, we're glad to have you.
Praise the Lord.
We starting off with a bang. That's pretty good.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody but Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Praise
nobody just lifting him up. Amen.
That's it.
And so I wanted to ask you, Pastor Greg, what's your father's name? What was your father's name?
Pastor John O. Youngblood Jr. And he was born in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, in the 30s, 1930 actually. And he was a very smart man, educated. He went to Fuller Theology sometime later in his life and became the pastor. We grew up in the Church of Christ Holiness church, and my granddad was a bishop in Denver, Colorado, with Bethel Church in Denver, and so from that time I used to fly on the planes and have the conventions, and I started out in music, and so Dad became he wasn't pastor then, he was still kind of going through his ministry at the time, but years later, my auntie asked him to start a church in her home out in Sylmar, and she was wanting her kids to have church, and my family is from Aquarius. My aunt Honey, she's the mom of the Aquarius. I don't know if you remember Family Matters.
Yeah.
We know Darius, and we know Howard also.
Yeah, that's all my that's
Howard,
all my
the one that lives in
family.
Japan.
Yeah,
we know Howard.
He lives in Hong Kong, actually. He's in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong,
Alfred's in Germany, and then the rest of the family's kind of still out here in California, you know, scattered abroad, still in the, out in the valley and different areas. And so that's what my Aunt Honey, she wanted them to, you know, once they came off the road, they were touring with Andre Crouch and different ones. And so she wanted to make sure that when they got home, they would have church. So we started our church, Joy Fellowship, in Sylmar, out in her home. And then it kind of expanded from there, went from her house to the hotel out in Sherman Oaks at the Holiday Inn out across from Busch Gardens. And we had just a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time for me as in a young age, you know, coming up through church and being able to help with that, you know, playing the piano, starting out playing piano, and I developed, you know, from that. And so my family was very instrumental in teaching me a lot of musical things and backgrounds. And so we really just had a great time, and, you know, and then it kind of branched off, and my dad took part of it back to L.A., and my cousin Sam stayed in the valley, and he took part of it, and then it kind of just, dad got sick, and I don't know, maybe there was, you know, it just wasn't the season for that time, and kind of disbanded. And then I got hold of the paperwork, and my dad, I'm an only child, and he wanted that was his vision, you know, and he just said, I'll ordain you.
Right.
And I said, Dad, I don't want to be ordained. I ran away from it. And I said, I'm good with, you know, just playing music and trying to keep the church running on a business end of it, and tried to do that, but, you know, God had other plans. And here we are today. We, as you alluded to in that great opening, appreciate you reading that, and it was well done. That's pretty much how it all started. You know, I took it, and my dad, he passed a couple of years ago, and his vision was, son, I'm so happy that you kept your promise to me, you know, to keep this ministry going. And my mom saw, and my dad, they were here with us a couple of years and saw us developing this ministry right here back in the home. And, you know, it's a wonder how things start and then develop and then kind of end and then restart again. You rebirth it. And so this is what happened. This is what's happening now. My wife, we both are now in ministry together. We've been married again, as you said, 8 years, and we have just really just been doing what God tells us to. And we, every time we come on, we just get blessed, and we just see the blessings that God has put forth in Joy Fellowship World Ministries. And we're just trying to reach out to the masses in the world. You know, it's non-denominational. We're not caught up in any kind of we have an overseer. We have somebody covering our Bishop Calvin Gross. We have a pastor, Pastor Doc Dewberry and his wife, and Lady Trina with Bishop Gross, his wife. And so we've got great covering, and we're just blessed. You know, we're just blessed. And so we're just trying to grow this ministry the way that God would want us to grow it.
Amen.
Amen.
And if your dad and your family can, well, your dad, if he could see where you've carried the ministry to right now, I mean, now you're reaching people all over the world, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And that is such a great blessing.
It is. It is.
So
you know, me and my wife always said that, you know, God told us, you know, the Spirit of God told us, it was going to be something big about the ministry. And, we're still in baby steps, but we see so much potential behind what he has us doing for him with this type of, programming, with being on the radio and being on the social media with Facebook, YouTube, and our own web pages. I was very instrumental at the time. My family was very instrumental in TVN with Jan and Paul, and watching
that
ministry grow. Yeah, we worked at telethons, and my family, we all go down there and to the studios and answer phones and pray for folk, play the music, you know, and it was just a great time of being that 24-hour kind of service that we want to get back to in a different way, you know,
right.
With these platforms.
Right.
And our vision was, you know, to is to do a 24-hour platform. And right now we're doing a few hours every Saturday, as you were saying. You know, we come on at 6, and however the Lord needs with the teachings and just people being engaged, we try to keep the platform going as God leads us to do. A lot of people say, oh, it's going to be too long. You're staying on an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You're going to start losing the people. And I think we've gained people by staying on because it's an opportunity for people to come on at different times. They might catch us in the beginning. They might catch us in the middle. They might catch us at the end. And as long as we see people on the line, you know, and God's got something to say to the people, we're there. We're not. It's not our show. It's God's platform. And so we do as he says. You know, the Holy Spirit, the leading, as you talked about earlier, leading of the Holy Spirit. And I like what Pastor T says about your wife, you know, where she said, what was that comment you made about how people only loving God just from afar or just when they go to church or when they're in trouble? You had a phrase there, and I wanted to piggyback on that. And I said, well, God just showed me that we have part-time lovers of Jesus. We have part-time lovers where they only love him part of the time. When he's blessing, when he's doing things, you know, that's how the people were when they were coming, the 5,000 in the grove. Most of them came to see the miracles. Most of them came to see, you know, to witness what he could do for them. And then after that, there was no more acknowledgement of Christ except we need to find him because something was going on, you know, and we need to get a miracle. We need to get a healing. We need to have a blessing, you know, And we have that semblance of people doing that today, you know, part-time lover. They go to church, as you said before. They go to Easter. They go to Thanksgiving or whatever the special events are. And no other semblance of what God is really doing in their lives or, you know, any honor, you know, for the love of God. And so
right.
It wax cold. And so, you know, right. This Holy Spirit is what is needed. The revival, the refreshing needs to be to take place, not just because we're in a pandemic, but it needs to take place as a relational, gathering, a relationship with God and with Christ again, to restore and to renew, you know. And so there's much of that that needs to take place, not just because you need it or want it, but because it's very much needed and wanted across the world. We see people hungry for Jesus. But they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to approach him. They don't know how to access him. And so there becomes a lack of connection with Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And so you were right on point with that. You know,
amen.
We need to stop saying church. We need to stop playing church.
Amen.
And there it is, man.
Because
things are very serious right now. It's a lot of things going on out there that's just totally ridiculous. The laws of the land, people turning their backs on the Lord. It's so many people that have gotten into witchcraft and all kind of things, man. It's picked up in pace. I mean, all of these things was out there, but now it's more and more and more. It's like, man, if the Lord don't do anything, man is going to destroy himself.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
We need the revival, not just a revival,
right.
But we
Amen.
Need
yes.
the revival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we've been. That's what my wife and I we've been preaching about for a long time. This great sevenfold anointing that's coming upon God's church. That great revival is coming. And God is going to move on his church in a mighty way like never before. You've never seen what's getting ready to happen now. And we've been trying to prepare our congregation, and I was so happy to hear you say that, you know, that we really do need this revival.
Yes, indeed. And it's going to take us a few. I always thought about how the Jehovah Witnesses always talked about the 144. That was their whole premise about we're the only ones going. And I mean, hear it reveal something to me that the 144 doesn't mean the exact number, but they are correct in knowing that there's only a few of us that are going to be chosen and you know, mm-hmm. and be led as a Joshua, because I felt like my dad called me as a Joshua to lead this ministry after he was long gone, and you know, he wanted to see this ministry continue on. And so it's going to take, mm-hmm. You know, as we as the Joshuas right now today, to train up the people, teach the people how to lead, okay, first of all, mm-hmm. teach the people how to love, okay, and mm-hmm. then not afraid to let loose the baton when it's time to pass it, because you got so many churches out right. there who are in, you know, these bishops and these pastors and these supervisors and overseers and all of this, and they got this baton. I heard my bishop say this. They have this baton thing, you know, like when you pass in a race, and they have this baton, and they're holding this thing so tight that they don't want to let nobody else come up on their platform. They don't want to train nobody to take over or to, you know, to lead. And Jethro right. did that with Moses. He said, "Man, you can't do this by yourself. You gotta delegate. Yeah. You gotta teach, and you gotta let some authority go and let the people, you know, deal with their own small problems. And then if they can't deal with their own problems, then you as a you know as the leadership, the overall leadership, the overseer, if you will, you take on the bigger problems. You know, you guide the ship. But those little things will wear mm-hmm. you out." Will tear you down. You can't be everywhere. So you have to learn how to be a great leader, and a great leader always teaches other leaders. And so, you know, that's what we've been doing here. Me and my wife have been trying to bring on folks to help us build this ministry and other ministries. We're not saying we're the only ministry. We're trying to include other ministries so we can, as she said, one church. So we can all work mm-hmm. in one direction, the direction that Christ has lead us into, you know, to get to glory, to get to the kingdom, to get to the mm-hmm. new earth, and the mm-hmm. new Jerusalem, right?
The 144,000, I just want to bring something in on that one, is mm-hmm. a catalyst. 144,000 is just the catalyst to the multiplication yeah. of a number mm-hmm. that no man can number. You know, but it's going but it's going to take a small remnant that is submitting right. and that's following and being led by the Spirit. See, there it is. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons
the
of God.
Spirit.
It's going to take that initial people that are submitting to the process, and then mm-hmm. others are going to run in, because they're going to want it when they see what God is about to do. Because he's about to blow the spot up. He's not going to mm-hmm. allow this witchcraft openly seances right on stage, killing 8 people and smashing up a whole bunch. He's not going to allow that and no mm-hmm. one can do anything, because that's the work of Satan. He's going to answer mm-hmm. these things, because the blood of those children are crying out to him. And that's mm-hmm. an injustice. If people are going to enjoy themselves at a concert and they're under the spell of a witchcraft and don't even realize until they get in there and overtake and unaware, God is going to answer mm-hmm. for those things. He's going to come with his power. God is not mm-hmm. asleep. He's just getting us a group of people, a remnant together that is awake. Mm-hmm. Like he said, wake up, your light has come.
Yeah.
Your light is, you know, arise, shine. Your light
Amen.
Is come. We gotta wake up. We're preparing and waking up the church. That's why we're on this phone. Because we have to wake up the sleeping giant and let them know mm-hmm. a few things. Number one, it's not about you. We introduce them. We all work for Jesus. We're servants
Amen.
Of the Most High
Amen.
God. And this thing is
Amen.
About
Amen.
Introducing our king. And bringing him back to the platform, and not your ministry
Amen.
And the name of your ministry and who you think
Amen.
You are and what have you done. You didn't do not one miracle without the power of God
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't for him.
That's
so don't get up and act like you got a
Amen.
Deal with anything. It's Jesus
Amen.
Everything. And so once the people's minds get back on track, after they've been robbed
yes.
by give and this to happen. You don't have to give for nothing to happen. Freely you got it.
Mm-mm.
Freely you give it. It's the Holy
Amen.
Spirit. God
mm-hmm.
gave it to all of
Keep
us.
That.
It ain't no paying
Amen.
For it. It's not about no money. And then once we
Mm-mm.
get all these issues
that God is going to bring. Mm-hmm. He's trying to look for a group of people that is not tied to all that trash. And
right.
that they're here
are,
to bring glory.
We are the group.
Like Jesus said, I am here to bring
group.
Glory to my Father. And that's what we are here for, to bring the glory
Amen.
To our Father, not to build up anything for money, for
Mm-mm.
fame, for
Mm-mm.
nothing.
Thank you.
Because just lift him up. That's what we're here for.
That's it.
And Jesus
got
to be brought back into the pulpit, and man has to sit down. And so we're getting
there
into
you
the
go.
Time now. We got two different churches going on. We got spirit-led church and man-led church and programs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Programs is not going to
mm-hmm.
make it. For the past 20-something
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. years, we've been seeing programs.
Amen.
Feeding the hungry. We should feed hungry people. That's our reasonable service. But that's not shouldn't
right.
be the whole program. That's
mm-hmm.
not everything. Jesus and the presence of God should be in these churches. I don't want to go to no
yeah.
dead church.
No, nope.
Jesus
people too fat anyway trying to eat. Well, we're going to have to have banquets
we have
and pastors' appreciations and all that stuff.
We have to remember what he said, what would take place in the last days, is that he would pour out his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
does that mean? Pour his spirit out on whom?
All flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are
exactly.
ready to receive and submit and make the sacrifice necessary to do what he's calling us to do. And
mm-hmm.
that's what it's really, that's the bottom line. You know, we have to get it straight. We
right.
need to work together. He told mm-hmm. us to. We represent the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we
right.
continue to separate ourselves in all these different entities,
mm-hmm.
I got my, this is my church. This is my church. I'm doing it this way. This is my doctrine. God is so fed up with all of that. He intends for us
mm-hmm.
to come together
in
one
am.
Church. We only study out of one Bible. We only have
Say
one
that.
God to serve.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to come together and pull together as one church so he can feed us and pour his spirit out on us. As long
Amen.
As we keep separating
yeah.
ourselves and have our own mind and want to go our own direction, that's not going to be able to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's
and not
yeah.
it's not our ministry. It's Jesus'
right.
ministry.
It's his ministry.
As long as we
ministry.
Keep it that the ministry belongs to him and not to
it
man,
does.
Then it'll start getting straightened out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta step aside.
Mm-hmm.
Step
well, you
aside,
know,
you know.
Yes, right. And you know what God is going to do in this hour is the same thing he did. In the days of his early church, when
mm-hmm.
he chose 12 men, a small remnant out of all Israel,
mm-hmm.
and in this hour
mm-hmm.
he's going to pull out a small remnant out of all of Christianity. But what is he going to do
right.
with that remnant? He's going to do the same thing he did with his apostles. He's going to teach them. He's going to train
yeah, mm-hmm.
them, and then send them right back into Israel. He's going to teach
Amen.
Us, train us, and send us right back to the church
mm-hmm.
because the church has to be ministered to first. We've got
yeah.
the church has got to get on. We've got to minister to the church. And then from the church,
mm-hmm.
after the church is ministered to, then we go out into all the world, and then the world will see real Christianity. And
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Right. And I think we talked
you know.
About that when you were on the program,
mm-hmm.
Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about that you know there was 1,600 phrases of go, you know, in the Bible, and there was only about 62 of stay. Well, church has got to, as
mm-hmm.
we were talking earlier about waking up, and we've got to get active. You know, there's one
yeah.
thing about waking up, but then what are we going to do when we get woke? You know, as they say here, the new phrase. Now we have to activate. And as you were saying,
mm-hmm.
we got to train, we got to teach, and that's all about
mm-hmm.
activating and getting ready to put on that whole armor of God and go out and do
mm-hmm.
the witnessing and go out and do the, you know, harvesting of the people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and bring them back to the fold
mm-hmm.
or bringing them into the fold for those who haven't been in the fold. And so that's
exactly.
a dangerous job for the few of us because you know, there's more of them than there is of us, really. And so with mm-hmm. that, we have to have some specialized training in certain areas to address certain things that are going to come up on us. So you can't go out there just naked, as I said, all willy-nilly, thinking that you know something, that you're protected, and if you don't have your full armor on, you're going to get wiped out.
Spiritual things are dangerous. You stop right there. I saw a guy, he went downtown, he put on a collar and a black suit, and he came back with a busted lip. He went downtown the minute.
Wow.
And exactly what you're saying is what happened. He just jumped out of there and wasn't covered, mm-hmm. wasn't sent or anointed for the job.
Right.
But I believe when it's time, when God is after, when he's preparing us for what's yet to come, and when it's time for us to go forth in the battle, we don't even understand this. All the power and the might that he's going to give us, we won't be afraid of anything. We'll be able to walk through stuff that we never thought we could walk through. And on his direction, and we're going to be girded up with the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
so tight,
mm-hmm.
With all his power and might, we are going to be fighting that spiritual battle. And we haven't understood anything yet. Wait till we get there.
That's true.
You know,
this is only a time
for us to begin to recognize the truth about what we are supposed to be doing so that we can line up and become one with him so that
mm-hmm.
he can pour his spirit out on us. But
exactly.
until we become the oneness, until we get that part and go there, he won't be pouring his spirit out on us. And
well,
so
that is so
part.
Beautiful.
We just got to
mm-hmm.
get that part.
Mm-hmm.
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 So God bless
that,
you for saying that, sister.
With that, I'm going to let you all know, and I think I can speak for my husband, too. We're ready. We can join together. Let's do it. We can join
mm-hmm.
together. Let's start here.
Amen.
Let us join together. That's the example.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the radio right now. People can hear what we're talking about.
Amen.
Let's do
this. Amen.
Join together. Start working together. We can start here.
Absolutely.
Then others might come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take one step at a time. And mean what
Amen.
You say and say what you mean and do it.
You mean
you know,
be
that's
about
what God
it.
Is waiting
mm-hmm.
for us to do. I'm serious. I ain't playing with this. I'm
yeah,
serious.
There's a lot of
yeah. walking in unity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people
I
will talk
you.
And do a lot of talking, but they won't show no activity in the planning or, you know, they're waiting for somebody else to jump, you know, jump on the ship. And what Noah do? Noah told him, you better get on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
You better get,
right.
you know, because when the door closes, that's it. You ain't getting on.
Mm-hmm.
So those who want to get on board, get on board. That's why we call our channel the Virtual Art Channel. This ship sails all over the world, and it makes stops.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We're going to make a stop. And
mm-hmm.
if you ain't jumping on when we make the stop, it's moving on. So,
yeah.
you know, so that God gave us that, the art, and we call the platform the
mm-hmm.
virtual art. And we believe that
God has shown us
is going to be, you know, it's going to be the art. You know, the arc and getting on that arc, because there's going to be a wind-up time. And all of this will be burnt up and done away with. So if you're not getting on the physical arc to see right with your naked eye, because now we're operating both in the physical, in the flesh, and in the spirit. And so once the spirit comes, that's it. You know, when we get transformed and all of that with our glorified bodies and everything, those who are left behind, they're gonna get chewed up out down here.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we call our ministry, we call the virtual arc. That's an idea we had that we believe God led us to. But as we all come together as one, people coming from different directions. I see people coming from all different ministries coming together. I see it happening.
They have to.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can call it the ark. We can call it whatever, but it has to be whatever God says it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's the one that's given us the direction. The direction, that's the thing people are doing right now. They have their church they call Adventist. Or their church that they call Presbyterian. They call their church Baptist. You see, that's the part that I believe we have to break away from titling things. Just come together. Let's come together and find out what it is God wants us to do. I'm right now trying to, I believe God gave me an assignment to try to draw first ladies together so that we can work to serve the people who have needs in all of our communities, in all of the communities. But the first thing I say to the people who agree about coming on board is there is no leader here except God. I'm just doing the assignment that I was told to do. But God is the one who is in charge of it. And if we stay there and let God be the lead on everything, then we'll be able to receive all those blessings and all that power and everything that we need to go forth in the battle.
Right.
And that's where I believe we've had a problem over the years, is people thinking, and then some people have started churches for the purpose of making money.
Yeah.
You know, they count heads.
In that part.
I've even heard pastors asking for Social Security numbers so they can find out how much each person has so they'll know how much they should be putting in the plate.
Oh God!
You know,
that's ridiculous.
God is angry about these things, and I believe that some of these things that are happening right now, we don't want a pandemic. We don't want all the people to die. We don't want people to be sick and going through all of that. But as a result, it's caused some of us to stand still.
Mm-hmm.
When you stand still, you can hear from the Lord, and he speaks to your heart. I've been having things happening to me that I can't even explain, and I know it's coming from the Lord. I know it's coming from the Lord.
That's
I vow to just be still and wait on the Lord. If he tells me to go forth and do something, that's when I move, all the way down to what am I supposed to cook today. Everything, and that's what he tells us to do in his word. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path.
I said that too, sister, about the pandemic. I said the whole earth has to be quiet now and listen and seek God, pay attention to their families, their children, see what's going on with them mentally and emotionally. And take care of your wives, and instead of everybody passing each other like two ships in the night, they got to stop and stay in the house and learn how to love each other and see what's really going on with your family.
Amen. Because what you find out is that's all you got is your family. That's
and so sometimes God allows things to happen. So that things can be shaken up and rearranged and put back in their proper places.
And so, and I won't, I'm not ashamed to say I feel good about what God is doing over here, about keeping us still. You know, only when only when he says
I preached about that Sunday.
Oh my!
Why we are still?
So
they
get into your quiet
form,
your quiet spot. You get into one day. My husband and I we were working on a project on the computer, working on music, or I think we were doing a video. And I was sitting next to him. We were looking at the thing, and all of a sudden, I had this flash in my face. it was a woman. And the woman was a brown-skinned woman, and her hair was white. She had a head full of hair. But it was a flash. And I said, honey, I just saw something. He said, what did you see? And I explained it to him. He said, wow, I wonder what that was. The next day, we were in the same position doing the same thing, and I had another flash in my face. And it was my hand. And my hand was out, and someone put two brown seeds in my hand. And the seeds had tails on them. I said, honey, I had a vision again. What did you see? And I told him what I saw. I said, wow, I wonder what's going on. So we were visiting our spiritual mother after we lost our spiritual parents, and our dad passed away due to COVID. And we were visiting with her, and I told her about what I saw. And she smiled at me. She said, that woman was you. I said, what? She said, that was you, and the seeds in your hand represented life. You're going to have a long life. When she said that, I was just covered with, what do you call that? When I know it was the Holy Spirit. It was like, it felt like goosebumps, but bigger. It was like from my head to my toes. And I believe that was confirmation. Why does he want me to have a long life? Because he's putting us to work. I have to be strong. And it feels, and when you look at my situation, you would think, well, that's kind of contrary with all the stuff that my body has been going through, you know. But God is God, and he can do anything. And I believe it. I believe that God is going to use us. He'll use us all when your heart is right and you believe his word and you're trusting in him and you're walking by faith, you're loving on everybody. You're giving all you can to help others without asking for something back. When we get there, God can use us. And I believe that's what has happened. But I'm just saying, it made me question. I said, okay, Lord, is that you, a piece of you pouring out of a piece of your spirit right now? Because that was real. It was real. And I know that there's probably people all over the land, everywhere, that have totally surrendered themselves to the Lord, who are experiencing things similar to that. You know, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I know I still have, like my husband says, I still have cones out. I still got my skeletons I'm cleaning out of my closet, you know, but because I'm just human like everybody else. But my heart thrives after what is good and what belongs to God. And I know I belong to him, and I know you all belong to him. My husband belongs to him, and he knows how to take care of what belongs to him. And so I trust that. I'm sorry I'm getting a little long-winded, but I don't
know.
No, mean
you're
to,
fine.
I'm excited.
You're
about,
fine.
I'm excited.
Sure. You're making others excited also, baby.
Praise
I am enjoying
Lord.
It.
Praise
I love to see how God moves and operates in others. I love to see his personality in other people.
Yeah,
how he's praise working God. With them, deal with them. I love that.
Yeah, he brought us through a lot of challenges. My wife is alluding to that. You know, we both had a lot of health issues and things that anybody else listening to those health issues and seeing the health issues, and some of the people that do know us that might be listening on the air tonight, you know, I myself, my personal issues, you know, I've had kidney transplant in 2016. I had an open heart surgery, quadruple bypass in 2010. Had valley fever in the early 2000s. You know, sick for 5 years. It was almost like COVID. It attacked my lungs, and I'm still on the medication today, but because of the transplant that they put me on back then, took me off. Then when I got the transplant, they said, "Oh, we got to put you back on this, you know, this antiviral, you know, medicine, so this doesn't come back, you know, to haunt you." And so now I'm on a bunch of medicines, but praise God, I'm a living, walking, breathing, both me and my wife are living,
Amen.
Walking, breathing testament of what God can do. He can do anything
yes,
but
yes.
fail. And so
yeah.
when we look at what God can do, not only what he can do, but what he's done for us and what he's capable of, just across the board, it just blows you away when the little things we take for granted, the breathing, we don't even think about breathing until it's, until you get in water or something and then, oh, God, I got breath and it's about to be taken away from me, But when we just get up on a norm, and put our feet on the side of the bed and we get up, or all through the night, we're just breathing, right? We're breathing. We take that for granted. How big is God? My grandmother used to say, how big is God? Well, he's very big because he created us, and he created us for his glory. And so, all
That's
of
right.
this, what we've been talking about, is alluding back of what service can we bring back to God's glory to make it in, because, I always teach, in this ministry, we've been teaching kingdom principles, kingdom dynamics.
Yes.
And the whole thing is about getting back to the original state that God purposed us for back before the Garden of Eden even took place. His purpose was to create man for his glory. And when he created Adam and Eve, he said, hey, I created you for my glory, and here's what you need to be doing. He set the guideline for Adam, and then he gave him Eve, and then somewhere along the line, things were good, and then all of a sudden, here comes the serpent, to woo, not just Eve, because we always get that kind of wrong. Adam was there as well. Adam was the one that really sinned, because he was given the command. He was given the mission. He was given the orders to do, whatever it is he needed to do in that, to manage that garden. And he allowed himself to be influenced by his wife. Okay, so we have to take responsibility in everything that goes on, because he created us as the head, as a man. He created us as the head, and so we have to, take our place in that, prominence that he's given us. And not to say that, because a lot of people, we get it twisted in marriage and different things like that. We bring that up, and then it's a big conversation about, the leadership and the pecking order of how things are to be done. But God had order. He had order.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to be taken lightly, that we banter our spouses, either way, but we need to recognize the order that he set forth and obey that order. Walk
Amen.
In that on both sides, women and men, walk in that whole scenario. Then you don't get it twisted, because
exactly.
if you go outside of the coloring lines, as we used to talk about in the book, you color outside the line, now you're out of order. You're out of
Amen.
Order.
Yeah.
All we got to do is what God purposed us to do. Follow those little commands that he's given us. They're not that big. They're big to us now because, the fall of man happened, so now everything is corrupted. But they were so simple back then because we didn't know sin then. So all we had to do was follow instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Now we find that it's a hard task to do. Oh, I can't do that. I love being on this side of the curve more than I like being over there, because that's just too hard to serve God. I'd rather just come over here and, straddle the fence or whatever and, call on him when I need him, as we talked about earlier, be a part-time lover. And I'm going to be like Forrest Gump. That's all I got to
say
about that.
Pastor, we're getting down to about 5 minutes in the show. I was wondering if you could pray for our listeners out there.
Amen.
We have a prayer or something
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
Thank you,
God,
Lord.
We just thank you for this program tonight, Lord.
Thank
we thank you,
Jesus.
For all the things that the words and all the encouragement and all the comments that went forth tonight, Lord. We pray that those didn't fall on deaf ears tonight, Lord. We pray that someone has been encouraged. Somebody has been lifted up in the spirit. to know you more, Lord, to get to know you, to go and seek you diligently, Lord, to ask for forgiveness first and for repentance, Lord, for the things they've done, Lord. And we ask, God, that you just protect them tonight. Put your hands of protection around every family across this world tonight, Lord, that by the sound of my voice, Lord, they would be receiving you, they would be loving on you, Lord, and that they would just turn their hearts back to you, to that original plan that we were just talking about, getting back to Eden, as they say, Lord, living on top of the world with you, Lord, living in peace and in harmony and love, Lord, in charity. And Lord, we just know that you are God and God by yourself. And we want to get back to that status, Lord, of serving you, glorifying you, Lord, waking up and just singing hallelujah. He says that's the highest praise. Lord, if there's anybody that's going through tonight, Lord, I want to address that real quick, Lord. If there's anybody in prison that don't deserve to, first of all, the ones that don't deserve to be there, Lord, go there, be a comfort, Lord. Make a way out of no way that they seem no in way that they're going to get out or make it impossible, Lord. They may be listening tonight. Lord, we send that prayer to them tonight. The ones that did do something, Lord, and they're there, Lord, for a purpose, Lord, touch their heart. Let them repent.
Yes, Lord.
Let them be forgiven, Lord, and that they would change their heart. We know that they still have to answer for the things or the crimes or whatever they've done, but, Lord, change their hearts, soften their hearts, Lord, that they might receive you. Go out to the hospitals tonight. The patients that are dealing with COVID tonight, touch them, heal them, Lord. Restore them, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you just touch the whole world, Lord. And, Lord, we want to pray for this broadcast tonight for Pastors T. Myers, the McClains, Lord, and McCain's. And so we just want to make sure that you know that they love you, Lord, and that they're diligent, their heart is diligent to serve you, Lord. I ask prayer for us tonight, the young bloods, and on this broadcast, Lord, our hearts are diligent, Lord, that you would increase both ministries, Lord, that you would increase in a way that you want it to grow and that we can continue to just serve you, Lord. Lord, we'll be so careful to give you praise, honor, and glory in your son's matchless name, we pray, and all the listeners and all the hosts say, amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen, and let it be so. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
We want to thank everyone for tuning in to our broadcast tonight. We pray that you have been blessed and that you will continue to tune in to Christian Talk every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. That's every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. So keep in mind that we are a worldwide ministry. And that this program is worldwide. So you can check your time zone, and you can dial in 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila wherever you see the post of this particular program in case you missed it. And you can click on the picture, and the whole program will start, and you can hear it from beginning to end if you missed it. Thank you for dialing for tuning in, and also we want to thank our special guests, Pastor Greg and Chaplain Lady Youngblood. We want to thank you too. By the way, her name is Sharon A. Youngblood, in case you didn't know. We want to thank you guys for tuning in, and we want to thank you guys for being our guests, and such
Glory
a blessing to the people.
You're welcome.
Pastor Tasila, do you have something? Pastor
yes,
Tasila,
I just
want to
say one thing. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Your only ticket into heaven is for Jesus to see himself in you. So allow Christ to be formed in you. Amen. And
amen.
I really appreciate you guys. I had a good time. I love the fellowship. And we are happy to get together in person. So we can put some plans, see what the plans the Lord has for us to do.
Yeah.
But God bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your wisdom, for the anointing that's on your lives, and for the work that's in your heart that you want to do to bring glory to the Father. I love you, believers. God bless you so much.
Ditto.
You put your hand to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all, and we're winding down. Beautiful, beautiful program. I was really blessed. I'm sure a lot of people were blessed by it. You guys are so beautiful. And by the way, I didn't mention that Pastor Greg is a very good musician, songwriter, producer, and his wife is a terrific singer, songwriter as well. Okay, time is going out. We got to go. Goodbye.
God bless.
Bye, everybody.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye. God bless. Love you
all.
Love
you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.